This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You know, it was a tough, hard-fought game. It always is. We're just really appreciative of being in these games because we realize the growth associated with it, obviously, when you get it done. And so I'm excited for the guys in that locker room. They're excited, and they should be. They made the necessary plays. Certainly, it wasn't perfect, man, but it's not going to be when it's highly competitive and you're playing good people. I like the way our guys responded to the challenge, particularly our defense, man. A lot was written and said about that offense coming into this game, and rightfully so, man. They got a lot of talent. They got a lot of weapons. They got good schematics. Our guys played hard and together, and man, I'm appreciative of that.
Mike Tomlin talking about the victory yesterday. Lamar Jackson, just call the Steelers your daddy. 1-4 against Pittsburgh in his career. And real quick, guys, here's Lamar Jackson's passer rating by game this season. 90.8, 81.4. This is from Donnie Football, by the way. 139.4, 135.4, 119.9, 114.7, 158.1, 101.8, 158.3, and 141.4. His passer rating yesterday against the Steelers, 66. Mm. Completion percentage, under 50%. Now we are joined by Mark Cabali, our Steelers insider. Also, Pat McAfee, Steelers insider. He is brought to us by Bet365 and the injury lawyers of LGKG. LGKG, Western PA injury lawyers for over 90 years. What was your biggest takeaway from the victory, Mark?
By the way, hi, Adam.
Yeah, good to see you.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Doran. How biggest takeaway?
Yep.
Man, I think they might be for real. As in for real, as in have a legit opportunity to be a Super Bowl contender right now. I don't know. I'm not quite ready to say they're going to be there, they're going to win it or anything like that. But I'm just very impressed in the different ways they have the ability to win games. I mean, they can play any way right now. I mean, if you're going to take, I mean, just offensively, you're going to take their running game away, they'll throw it. If you're going to take their pass game away, they run it. If you're going to face a team that can run, they can stop that. You can stop a Lamar Jackson. You can win special teams ways. I mean, just you can win by out-coaching them. I mean, that's something that I don't think that this team or this organization has seen. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the 70s. I mean, even during the good times of the 2005, the 10s, you always had that part of the offense or the defense where you're a little skeptical. You know, 2005, it's like, okay, is the offense really good? And, you know, 8-10, can they run the ball? I mean, a little bit later, the defense was a little bit. Here, it just seems like everything has been put together very meticulously and actually is working.
Real quick, you're sitting here right now basically saying this version of the Steelers is more complete than 05, 08, and 2010.
Yeah, because I do, because those teams were flawed in some ways. I'm not saying this team's not flawed, but that team, you had to have – you had bigger question marks. I mean, like I said, in 05, the defense was solid, but you had to say, okay, is the quarterback going to be able to lead us? If they take the run game away, are they going to be able to throw the ball? I mean, you didn't know. I mean, that 8-10 team, they couldn't run. They were some of the worst running teams, worst offensive lines you've ever saw it before. That's not quite the case. I'm not saying this team is great, but when you compare them across the board, I think they're the most balanced team that I've probably seen, mind you, through 10 games. I mean,
sure,
obviously things can change. But as we sit right now, they can, whatever way you want to play, I think they can play and win.
What were some of the flaws or negatives that you did see in the game, if we want to nitpick?
Well, offensive line, man. Yeah. I mean, Russell didn't have his best day, but he was getting pressure quite instantly. Whoever that one guy was named Owa, would he have 3 or 4? Should have been 4 sacks, and he was on him quick. Broderick Jones was not playing well. They took the running game away for the most part. That pretty much stifled their offense. So, I mean, you'd have to look at that. But when you have the special teams and the defense to be able to back you up like that, you can afford games like that.
I can't believe he's going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 180.
I mean, walked in that locker room yesterday and it just had a different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
A vibe as, hey, we're good. We know we can good. We know we can beat anybody. And honestly, if you think, I mean, in the past, you're like, oh, you don't want to face Kansas City. You get crushed by Kansas City. You don't want to go to New England and face Tom Brady. You'll get crushed by Tom Brady. I don't have that feeling right now. I think they could play and beat pretty much anybody right now. And I don't think you could say that about any other previous teams over the last, you know, at least 10 to 15 years.
Man.
Is there? I mean, they go into Kansas City, you'd be like, they have no shot. You would not say that right now.
I would not say that right now. And even when things were good, 2016, you thought, okay, they're going to have to play the Patriots on the road in the AFC Championship game.
The defense stunk.
Yeah, and they got abused. However many points the Steelers would have scored that could have scored that day, the Patriots always would have found a way to score one more point than them. They could have named the score. And then you think about 17, and the Steelers lost at home to the Jags. And then you think about I do feel better about their playoff chances than I did back in 16.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, more recent past, you would say if they get in, okay, they're going to get in one and done. If they get in this year, which obviously they're going to, you have a feeling that it's not going to be a one and done. They're probably their best chance to win a playoff game in, you know, 10 to 12 years.
You mentioned the offensive line being a concern, and I would agree with that. What about receiver? Mike Williams played 9 snaps yesterday, 36, I want to say, for Van Jefferson. And
I thought Mike Williams played more than that.
I read 9.
That was week 1. I thought he played in the 20s last week.
He played in the 20s? He didn't get a single target yesterday, did he?
When I looked at it, I thought it said 20. You might have to look it up again.
Okay, but
I'm like,
he was a non-factor.
I didn't even notice him.
So you're there, and we're obviously watching on TV. Were they having significant issues getting separation? Because that's what it looked like to me from my view.
It was a twofold. I mean, they weren't getting open a lot, but the instant pressure wasn't helping at all. So I think you can blame both of them when you look at that. But you know what I do like is Russell Wilson on those third and longs. This is probably has nothing to do with anything, but if it's 3rd and 14, those are almost impossible to convert. He gets the ball short to George because George can, if anybody can break a tackle and make it work, it was him, and he was able to do that a couple of times. But it was an interesting game because I don't think Russell had his best game. Offensive line didn't have their best game, and I don't think the receivers were open much at all. And your main target other than Pickens was Darnell Washington, and that tends to be an issue, I think. You don't want him to be your number two target.
What do you make of the red zone issues? 7 out of 18 in the red zone since Russ has taken over.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to figure that out right now. I mean, nothing seems to be working. Usually, you need to be able to run the ball down there. I do think they're being a little bit predictable.
I agree with that. I think they're running it too much down there.
I would like to see some play action on first downs to just, you know, get it, you know, take shots that way. But hey, maybe they don't need that. Maybe they found their elixir to that and number two, right? Which we've been talking about of if you have a short package of plays, that's where you'd want him.
I know, but how did you feel in that moment whenever he did go in? Because we were talking, like, he went in cold. He had snap issues before in the past.
But
like,
they put him in the shotgun, which I did like.
He fumbled a shotgun snap against Indianapolis.
Well, I did rather, because that's the first thing I thought. I'm thinking, oh, geez, you don't want to put him in this situation and him have the CQ exchange issues. But that's where they put him in that spot. But I thought I liked the third and longs. I think it was third and 12, wasn't it? Something like that, when he was able to almost convert it. So, yeah, I mean, you're taking a chance by putting him in there because of that, but I think it was very warranted, and I like it. I mean,
you think they're going to do it more in the red zone?
I don't know. I think they need to at least have that option, because we saw in the preseason and early in that season, when he's in the goal line inside the 10, man, and the read option, he's pretty dynamic. And I don't know if you want to continuously do that. I would like to see some, you know, dummy play, so to speak. Just go in there, hand the ball off, mm-hmm. come back out.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see some of that. But, yeah, I mean, that's one option. I mean, you got to get the ball to the tight end as well. I mean, Freiermuth needs to produce more, and I don't know if that's because – the offensive coordinator, if that's because the quarterback, or if that's just because it's not part of the plan. I don't know what's happening there, but that's the guy you need to be able to target around there, and they haven't been able to do that yet.
All right, when we come back, Steelers beat the Ravens 18-16. You know this. Why the mastery over the Ravens? Why 8 out of 9? Why has Lamar looked as bad as he has against Pittsburgh? We'll get Mark's thoughts on that. We'll discuss when we come back. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We did what we always do, to be quite honest with you. You better play hard, fast, and together when you play this group and when you play Mr. Jackson. His talents are unique. Their schematics are unique. And forget the minutia of what it is you do. You better play hard, fast, and together. You got no shot. And we always start there.
Ravens averaged 32 points a game coming in. They scored 16. Ravens were averaging 440 yards of offense. They had 100 fewer yards, a little bit more than that, actually. They were averaging 184 rushing yards a game. They got 120. Steelers defense shut them down, and that's what they seem to do every time out against Baltimore. And Mark, were you seeing them do anything different this time compared to previous times they played Lamar? Or are we buying what Tomlin's selling there? Yeah, we just did what we always do.
I think so. You know, if you notice, they were able to contain him very well with their rush on the outside. They weren't getting out of their lanes, and you have to be very cognizant of that fact when you're playing against him. And I think it might have been as simple as that, because he likes to escape and obviously either run or throw off of that, and he's very, very good at that. And you didn't see that much of all. And I think it might be as simple as that. Just keep him within the tackle boxes, make him throw the ball down the field. Don't let him run for the big gains. He only had, I would like to say, what, three plays over 20 yards, and they're normally averaging about, what, 7 or 8?
Mm.
So, I don't know. I just don't think it's a big, big schematic thing, rather than got people just doing their job in the front seven, especially that front four. I think that might have been the unsung heroes. I mean, guys like Lowry and Hayward knocking some balls
yeah.
down, and Ogunjobi playing well, and Benton knocking a couple balls down. Those are big plays right there.
Do you think that it was apparent and evident that this Steelers coaching staff and Mike Tomlin outcoached John Harbaugh's staff?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been like that most of the season with this staff. And we sit there and we like to complain about how this coaching staff is – been terrible over the years. He's added some good pieces in the off season, especially on the offensive side of the ball, with Ezani and Arth and even Arthur Smith. So I don't think, when you're talking about the grand scheme of things of this team and how they're 8-2 and how they can move forward here and be a division winner and a potential player in the playoffs, and not mention the coaching staff. They got a very I noticed this way back when, was this very well could be the most talented coaching staff that he has had since he's been here. It's up there. They're very good at what they do. So, to answer your question, I think they did. And I think Mike Tomlin might be relying on those guys a little bit more than maybe the guys in the past. Maybe he's trusted them a little bit more.
Yeah, it's something, Doran, we've talked about ad nauseum here. You've got a potential Hall of Fame quarterback, and you've got an offensive play caller that was a head coach for 3 years, and he was hired as a head coach because he was a great offensive play caller. And so I've always thought that Mike Tomlin's best teams were when he was able to delegate. When you've got Dick LeBeau on the defensive side, when you got Todd Haley, Bruce Arians on the offensive side, and you can focus on other things. Doesn't mean you're not involved. Of course you're involved. You're the head coach. But you need good people. Matt Canada, not good people. Not a good coach. Terrible coach. This guy's a pro. And I think defensively, we are seeing a team that last year, okay, they had a ton of talent. They have a ton of talent this year, but they are playing head and shoulders above where they were last season.
Yeah, a lot of good schemes from those guys. I mean, but they got a lot of depth, too. They do. I mean, you can't discount the talent they do have, and the talent they added, too, with a guy like Deshaun Elliott, who just looked like a throw-in in March, all of a sudden becomes a, you know, arguably the best safety they have on the team. And obviously you have a guy like Patrick Queen has been playing extremely well over the past 2 weeks. And who knew about Peyton Wilson? I mean, they passed on him. I mean, there's a, what was he, like 97th pick? So 96 other slots were picked against him and were picked ahead of him, and he's able to come in and perform like this. So everything seems to be going great here. But you know, I was thinking for a second here, you're talking about what's going wrong here. How long do they wait, or do they wait for Broderick Jones?
Who are you turning to?
I mean,
from Mike Tomlin talking yesterday, it seems like it's not even a discussion.
No.
It's probably because of what they have. I mean, you got Calvin Anderson, and Spencer Anderson, I believe. But other than that, you cannot continue to have right tackle play like that. And he has the talent. I just don't know what's going on with him right now. And it wasn't pretty yesterday.
Is he trending towards bust territory in your mind?
I don't think so yet. I mean, he's just had a tough year. It doesn't mean he can't bounce back, but how long do you wait until he bounces? Well, how long until you have to make that decision?
Probably in the offseason, whenever Faltano comes back. or if you make the playoffs. I heard that Faltano could be back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's looking good. I mean, he had surgery a couple, a month or so now. He's looking pretty decent now, but, I mean, we're still looking. By the end of the year, that'll only be 3 or 4 months.
If he's healthy for a playoff game, let's say they have the bye. You play him over Broderick Jones? Do you think they would?
Yeah.
Well, depending on how Broderick Jones has progressed until then. But
I don't have a lot of faith that the progression's going to be on an upward trajectory.
Way. Well, put it this way.
He's bad, Mark.
Oh, I'm talking about Faltano.
I mean, he's bad.
He barely had any reps at all in camp, and they threw him in as
right.
a starter.
But right. Now it's a playoff game.
Yeah. I mean, something has to be done. I don't know what it is. Like I said, I don't know if they really have. Maybe
he's the weak link on the offense right now.
Yeah, maybe.
The entire offense.
Maybe it is a Spencer Anderson and just.
Oh, man.
I mean, can it get worse at this point?
No, but then, and you don't want to do the whole sunk cost fallacy, but you bench him for Spencer Anderson, he's lost. It's over. He ain't going to be here. You're going to trade him, or he's your swing tackle, and it's Faltano, and you try to pay Dan Moore Jr. if you bench him. And Tomlin, to your point, Doran, did not sound like he's even remotely thought about that.
Nope.
At any point. From a talent perspective, he's incredibly talented. Yeah. That's why they traded up to get him. But he regressed from last year.
I wonder if he would think about it if he had an option.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't even be in there if Faltano didn't get hurt.
Right. I mean, that's the rub. Like, he's benchable. He's played poorly enough to be benchable, but you can't bench a guy when the dude's behind him you don't have a lot of faith in, obviously. Texter, how do I get one of those fan hoodies? Take it off my cold, dead body.
Do you wear a size extra small? You can have that one.
This is a large.
Woo!
What size do you wear?
I wear a medium.
I just looked this up, medium. By the way. Mike Williams did play 25 snaps yesterday.
So I was right, you were wrong.
That's right. That is the most quiet 25 snaps that I can recall.
Yeah.
I mean, unless I'm totally forgetting, did he even have a target in yesterday's game?
Mm-mm.
I do find it still hilarious now that George Pickens' load management has not been an issue for a month now.
He is
up to 82% of the snaps yesterday.
If we could just take a second here and talk about our good friend George Pickens. He is, and I tweeted this yesterday, he is the most unconventional player I've ever watched in my entire life. And I watched a lot of football. Everyone who's listening to the show has watched a ton of football. I've never seen a guy. It's like you're playing video games and you're hitting the jump button.
Yes.
In the middle of the open field all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He catches that one ball 8 yards from the sideline and only gets 1 foot down because he's fighting to get the first down that, by the way, he already got. He's such a strange player, but he's dynamic. He had the 37-yard catch down the sideline. He had the catch short of the sticks on a third down where he makes a move and breaks down the sideline. He's an incredible player and an awesome talent. He's just a very weird watch. And as long as he's not fumbling and stuff like that, you can laugh at it.
He is.
He's flirting with it.
I ask a lot of people about it, and he's right up there, if not ahead of Patrick Queen in the trash talking category.
Oh, yeah, you could tell
he's
every play.
Absolutely trash talks is everybody.
The one play, some dude's laying there hurt, and the mic picked him up saying, lift that witch with a B up. Like, man, he's hurt. He's down there hurt. And you're saying, he's a, you know what? My God.
He's really transformed his game, and that probably has 85% to do with Russell Wilson?
Oh, I mean, he's getting the ball.
Yeah.
Getting the ball means money next year. So, of course. I mean, George is one of those guys that as long as you throw the ball in his direction, he's going to be happy. I hate to say that he would be a guy I would rather take a loss and 10 catches and a win and 1 catch. But seems like that type of guy.
Good thing for him, good thing for them. He needs to catch the ball for them to win football games. And with Russ, he's been outstanding. A 44-yard catch in the Jets game, 43 against the Giants, 34 against the Commanders, 37 obviously in this one, and 89, 91, 74, 111 yards respectively in each of these games. He looks much more
This game was 18-16, but you have the pick in the end zone, now I think about it, and you have that Calvin Austin one that he should have caught. I think they should have tested the corners a little bit more.
I agree with that.
I mean, this game could have been, 30-16 or whatever. I mean, it was
Yeah.
It was teetering.
We've had a lot of people on the text line say the Steelers were lucky to win because the kicker missed a couple. Okay. A, he's been doing that this year, first of all. We pointed it out pretty much all of last week. But if you're going to say that guy underperformed and so you were lucky, well, they went 0-for-4 in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen every week. Now, it's been 7 out of 18 since Russ has taken over. That's not good enough. But you're not going to go 0-for-4 every week. So you actually were closer to blowing them out, I think, than they were to winning the football game. And here's one more thing. This is why I do think that they're a Super Bowl contender. Defense, very good. Elite, actually. Special teams, elite. Offensively with Russ, they're averaging 362 yards a game. Like, they're moving the football. If you extrapolate that over the course of the year, that'd be good for 7th in the NFL. So they are moving the ball at a top 7 clip right now. You just got to find a way to punch the damn thing in. And I'm a little bit of an optimist there because you should be able to use Fields down there. But also, that was the best Russ was last season, was in the red zone. Like, at some point,
it's going to break. Yeah.
It's going to break, I think. I hope. I pray.
You really pray over that?
I don't pray at all, Mark. Not really. But we didn't need to get into that.
But you just said you prayed.
To the football gods. To Chuck Knoll. All right, coming up next, Steelers have a big one coming up on Thursday. It's a division game. It's a place where they haven't won a lot of late. And it's going to be rainy and cold. And I've already got a bad feeling about it. Do these guys have a bad feeling about it? Plus more on Steelers Ravens.
I think we have a complementary team, special teams, defense, offense. No matter the situation, we have guys and playmakers all around that can step up in those moments. And the defense falling short, the offense picks it up, or the special teams picks it up, and it works vice versa. And I love that from our group. We have to continue to keep doing it, but, it's nice to be able to say, all right, man, we messed up, but, you know, our offense and special teams will hold us down.
Cam Hayward talking about what a complimentary group these Steelers are. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Acre Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. What a season he's had. He's been outstanding.
Yes. Balling.
I'm going to go, I've been saying that since March, man. All of a sudden, people thought he all of a sudden lost his fastball because he had one injury over his 12-year career. I said, this guy is still a very good football player, and I think he's proven it.
He's playing at an all-pro level.
Mm-hmm.
The only concern was the injury for me. I mean, I think it was for you too, Doran. Like, we weren't concerned about whether or not he'd be able to play well when he's out there. It's just the older you get, sometimes
you trickle.
Yeah, there's a little trickle effect.
And they're taking care of him. He doesn't practice on Wednesdays. Sometimes he doesn't practice on Thursdays. What is he at, 60, 65% of the snaps during games as well? So they're not overusing him either.
Mm-mm.
So that helps.
And I don't think they're blessed, or at least before yesterday, I didn't think they were blessed with a ton of depth on that defensive line. But I thought Dean Lowry played really well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Larry Ogunjobi, oh my gosh, like Haley's Comet, I thought he flashed a couple of times. Really, there wasn't a single guy on the defense where I said, didn't play well. Maybe a little Dante Jackson. Maybe a little bit, but I thought Joey Porter Jr. had a really good game, as we discussed earlier.
Cam Sutton, how many snaps did he get?
He didn't get many. That's another one. Mike Williams, Cam Sutton were two guys who were like, they didn't really play that much. So I think he was in the 18s or something like that.
Hmm.
It was probably more scheme than anything else. He was playing some dime.
I was surprised Herbig played as much as he did.
Yeah, that's another one. I am kind of surprised he was up around 70, 80%. Preston Smith only had about 18 or 19 snaps, but Herbig, man, you can't deny him, man. No matter when he gets in there, he just makes plays.
Yep.
I mean, that, in my opinion, might have been the biggest of the three turnovers, the Herbig strip sack, because you don't want them to get on the board early. It might have been 3-0.
It kind of yipped him early, I thought. That's a good point by you.
Because, I mean, Derrick Henry, about 560-some carries he hasn't fumbled. I mean, that never happens.
And now if you're the Ravens, who've lost 7 out of 8 to the Steelers, and the guy who never fumbles, you kind of go, And then the guy who never used to miss kicks is now missing kicks. It has to wig you out. Steelers got this little pixie dust that they sprinkle on all these Ravens matchups. Because every one of these games in the 9, where they've won 8 of them, are close. I mean, it really just comes down to making the bigger plays. That's a good point by you, because I was arguing earlier that the Peyton Wilson interception was the biggest one. because it came right after the Russ terrible decision and no leap job from Darnell Washington to the back of the end zone. If they hit that play, and they, I mean, it's right there. All of a sudden, I think the momentum starts flipping the other way, and Peyton Wilson takes it away. But I like that pick from you.
Yeah, I mean, he just makes plays. That's all you can say about Herbig is every time he's out there, he just makes plays. That's another thing when we go back to the coaching staff. Boy, they've pushed all the right buttons of when to bring people back. I mean, maybe they're just being a little cautious. I mean, Herbig could have come back last week, but they didn't. And it just seems like everything they're doing is right now. You just wonder if it's just going to, at one point, catch up to him.
Even go back to Russ.
I mean everything. Seriously. I mean, is there any decision that you looked that they made and said, phew? I mean, we look back on it now, the Fatanu over Roger Jones was probably the right decision too now. Every decision he's made, this
he's staff, on a heater. He is.
Just working.
I do think you're going to see more Preston Smith, Cam Sutton, Mike Williams this week. You need your depth. I mean, Doran, it's a tough turnaround from a Sunday to Thursday, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to go through walkthroughs today, tomorrow, and then you're going to get prepared to leave for Cleveland on Wednesday. So I think that the snap count for some of the backups are going to be raised a little bit.
The only thing tough with Mike Williams is how much practice time does he have that they can feel comfortable with him with only a walkthrough.
Well, I think that this past week you put in the game plan for Cleveland against the Ravens that week. So the routes that he would run last week, he's going to run in the game this week. So I think that even though they didn't use him, he's still going to be doing the same things. So he'll get another look at it, just like, you know, with a walkthrough type deal.
I know there's short weeks in the past with Roethlisberger, they do a lot of no huddle.
Yes.
I don't know if they'll do that or not.
I would love to see that. And you punch him in the mouth and you take the air out of those guys early. Because I'm a little worried about this game. You've been worried for weeks. You've been telling us to circle this Cleveland game.
I don't think they're going to lose. But
see, I'm more worried now after the win. Emotional. Baltimore was so physical. And now you got to travel and play a team that, I mean, you just look at their record and you watch the tape and they're bad, bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're bad, bad.
Jameis did throw for 350 again, though.
395.
Was it?
Yeah.
But the Saints aren't the best team in the world either. But
no, they suck. But that's where I was on this, Mark. You're either going to have the Jameis Winston game where you go, oh, that's no good, or you're going to have the Jameis Winston game where he throws four or five to you.
What did they score, 14, 17?
14.
They have 400 yards passing, and yeah. I know Chubb at least had 50 or 60
right.
yards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting up close to 500 bills and can only score twice.
Jerry Jeudy had 142 receiving.
And 90 on one play, right?
Crazy.
One more thing on the end of the Ravens-Steelers game. There was a time when you didn't have Herbig or Watt on the field at the end of the game. And I don't think that the Ravens were urgent enough to continue to run plays and not let those guys get substituted onto the field. Like, I think Monken, I think Lamar need to do a better job of recognizing that. Because at one point, they were able to get Watt back onto the field. And how do you let that happen? Just go at warp speed. Because with those guys in there, they ruined the game, and they did ruin the game. All right, coming up next, Social Media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Two losers we want to point out. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Give you two losers from this game. Justin Tucker misses two field goals. And then says the surface was not ideal. Now, he did take accountability. He wouldn't, quote-unquote, use it as an excuse, but you can't say that then. You can't say the surface isn't ideal when the other guy cans 6 out of 6. And then the other loser is Deontay Johnson, who had one target. And would you consider that a drop?
Yeah, it hit his hands. I always consider anything that hits your hands is a drop. That's just me, though.
All right, I'll give him a drop.
I used to have to do punishment, up-downs. My dad would maybe do up-downs if the ball would hit my hand.
What's an up-down?
Oh,
like a burpee?
Down.
Yes.
Up-downs are terrible.
My whole life.
Especially for offensive linemen.
Ugh. They're terrible.
Yes.
That was a drop.
Well, you know.
Could have been a touchdown. And I predicted that. He was going to have a touchdown
drop. You did.
Yeah. They did boo him when they realized who it was.
When the ball clanged off of Zay Flowers' chest. and it's happening in real time, my first thought was, please be Deontay.
Yeah.
Because it would have been so I couldn't see. Yeah. Well, because the football blocked the number.
Right.
That's how good of a throw it was from Lamar. Mark, I said it earlier. That ball hit off Flowers' chest so hard it bounced and rolled all the way back to Lamar Jackson. That thing, they drop balls in just hilarious fashion.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the Steelers receivers. Those are some high pedigree receivers, too. There's some first rounders. I think they all are, aren't they?
That receiving core is underwhelming.
Flowers is first round.
They've got good numbers on the season. Bateman's got good numbers. Flowers got good numbers. Those guys leave a lot to be desired. It ain't Cincinnati's wide receiver core, I'll tell you that. And then you got Jerry Jeudy coming up for the Browns. Don't lose.
Right.
Don't lose. I'm worried they're going to lose. Rainy, 38.
Short week.
Short week, banged up.
I have no worry.
Not scared at all?
No. Good teams beat bad teams.
Until
if we,
they don't.
You're up here saying that they could make the Super Bowl. So if you think that, then they're a good team.
What did I say last week? I said if they were getting past these two games, I would pick them to go to the Super Bowl. Right now, I think they're contenders. I think a lot does depend on this game. It tells you where their mentals
yes,
are.
Yes, it does.
If you think they're a contender, then they'll beat the Browns.
Okay, we'll find out.
Ravens lost to the Browns.
Ravens are contenders.
Oh.
According to Mark.
Ravens. Ravens are a good team.
Programming note, Mike Tomlin speaks today at noon. Anything we're going to learn from that?
Absolutely nothing. You're going to hear obviously it was been only 24 hours from the game, blah, blah, blah.
Do you think he gives Myles Garrett the Mr. Garrett?
You know, the Mr. Jackson thing, there has to be some kind of things that we don't know. Why would you keep calling him Mr.
Jackson?
Did he call him Mr. Henry, too, yesterday?
I don't remember. Look, Lamar's a great player, but I love the kiss his ass and then go and bludgeon him.
Yep.
Love it.
Mr. Jackson, isn't that his name of a song or something?
Miss Jackson.
Miss Jackson.
By?
I have no idea.
Black Eyed Peas.
Jelly Roll. I don't know.
Outcast.
God. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Starkey up next. Mike Tomlin at noon. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, Mark. The Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, a high of 61.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.